I mean, all those things are included. But you can possess all of those things and be detached from Jesus Christ. You can possess all those things and have no relationship with Jesus Christ. We've seen that Christian life is a life that's deeply rooted, very closely connected to Jesus Christ. It's a life that is identified with Christ. It is a life identified by Christ. It's not merely a life, it's a calling. It's a calling. It's something that takes priority over everything. It's a constant pursuit. It's a constant pursuit of Christ. So many live what they call the Christian life, yet the life they live has nothing to do with Christ at all. As you read through Philippians 3, we're not going to take the time tonight. We've already done that. We see the words of one who simply wants more of Jesus Christ. And that's Christianity. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is wanting to have more of Jesus Christ. We need to make honest, personal examination. We need to do this often. We need to ask ourselves such questions as, how much of Christ is in my life? We can spend all our days in church, but the question still needs to be asked, how much of Christ is in my life? And you can break that down. How much of Christ is in our interests? Christ. I'm not talking about an interest in church, I'm talking about an interest in Christ. How much of Christ is in our ways? How much of Christ is in our opinions? How much of Christ is in our feelings? How much of Christ is in our moods? How much of Christ is in our viewpoints? In our pursuits? In our goals? How much of Christ is in our choices? How much of Christ is in our plans? We could go on and on. How much of Christ is in our marriage? How much of Christ is in our home? How much of Christ is in our worship? There's a lot of people who go through the formality of worship, but it would be a stretch for them to say that Christ is in their worship. How much of Christ is in our hopes? What are our hopes? How much of Christ is in our expectations? Again, we're not asking how much religion is in your life. Not asking how much of religious ways are in your life. But how much of Christ is in our life? How much do we want Christ in our life? How many areas do we want Christ in our life? What is it that we want more of in life? Is it Christ? Or is it something else? You remember on the night of Christ's birth, there was no room for Him in the inn. We need to ask ourselves, how much room is there in my life for Christ? Not how much room is in your life for religion, but how much room is there in your life for Christ? Christianity is Christ. It's no wonder that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, we preach Christ. That is the message of this book. Whether it be the Old Testament or New Testament, the message is Christ. We must never lose sight of the main subject of the message. The main subject is Christ. That's where the emphasis needs to be put. Again, you can preach a lot of things, and nothing wrong with many things that are preached, but the emphasis can be put in the wrong place. And the emphasis is put in the wrong place if it's not Christ. Again, you can preach separation or do this, don't do that, and those things are to be preached. But is that the emphasis? No, the emphasis, we preach Christ. And if people have a true realization of Christ, they will be separate. They will obey the Lord. Rules do not make strong Christians. Christ makes strong Christians. We preach Christ, is what Paul said. So our subject tonight is Christianity is an obsession with Christ. It is an obsession with Jesus Christ. True Christianity involves, first of all, a proper perception of Christ. From the passage in Philippians chapter 3 and from Paul's epistles, it is very apparent that Paul was fully persuaded, fully convinced that Christ was better than anything else, that Christ was superior to all others, that Jesus Christ was the most significant, that he was the most illustrious, there was nobody more amazing or more wonderful or more enjoyable or more worthy than Jesus Christ. And as you read Paul's writings, all of that is very clear. He had a very clear perception of who Jesus Christ was. He had a very clear perception of what Jesus Christ had done. Again, I believe, you may disagree, but I believe if someone does not, someone professes to be saved and they don't want to obey the commandments of the Lord, the root problem is their perception of Jesus Christ. Because if you realize who Christ is and you realize what Christ has done, you will obey. That's the problem. The problem is a wrong perception of Jesus Christ. So Paul had this very clear perception of Christ, and he wanted more. That's Christianity. Christianity is a clear perception of Christ, and we want more. So our perception of Christ really is defined by how much of him do we want in our lives? That pretty much declares our perception of Christ. Do we want more of Christ in our lives, or do we have enough? That speaks volumes concerning our perception of Jesus Christ. So there has to be an awareness. There has to be an appreciation. There has to be a comprehension of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16, we've preached from this passage many times, but leading up to Christ's call to the apostles, which is, follow me, which is the summation of the Christian life, he asks two questions in verses 13 through 15 with regard to perception concerning his person. In verse 13, he says to the apostles, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Their answer is given in verse 14. Some say that thou art John, the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Their answer reveals that the world merely speculates about Jesus Christ. Sadly, many who profess to know the Lord merely speculate about Jesus Christ. But notice here, in all their speculation, what do? They make Christ less than who he is. He's John the Baptist. Well, that's less than who he is. He's Elias. He's Jeremiah. All of those make Christ less than who he is. No, and none of their conjectures, none of their speculation concerning Christ would have any life-changing impact upon them. So what if he's John the Baptist? What impact does that have on your life? None. It does not impact your life. Now, Christ, knowing that the apostles would have different thoughts concerning his person, he asks a second question in verse 15. He says, but. So there's a contrast. Whom say ye that I am? How do you see me? How do you perceive me? Peter, acting as spokesman for the rest, answers in verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He answers with certainty, thou art the Christ. He answers with conviction, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And his answer was not the result of human thought. The first question, who is Christ? Some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's all the product of human thought. But we see Christ's reply to Peter. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Our perception of Christ must be the product of the work of God in order to make an impact upon us. You can sit in Sunday school, you can sit in church your entire life, and you can learn many things about Christ. But if you want it to have real impact, the Lord must show you. Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. So it's the work of God. We need to have a perception of Christ that is the result of the work of God upon our hearts. And when that is so, it will have a life-changing impact upon us. So we ask that question, but whom say ye that I am? And everything is leading up to, follow me. So between the question and the command, follow me, there's several things that take place. First of all, you have to have a proper perception. If you're going to truly follow Christ, which is Christianity, you have to have, as a result of God's work upon your heart, a perception of Jesus Christ. That leads to a willingness and desire concerning Christ. I'll just say this, if you do not have a willingness and a desire for Christ, your perception of Christ is no better than he's John the Baptist, he's Elias, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You have a wrong perception of Jesus Christ. So there is a willingness. Verse 24, if any man will come after me. Proper perception leads to a willingness, leads to a desire to follow Jesus Christ. It results in a determination, a resolve for Christ. And that's what our determination ought to be. It ought to be Christ. It all goes back to a proper perception. There must be a single-mindedness. There must be a firmness of purpose toward Christ. There must be, and this desire that we have must be stronger than any other desire. And it will be if we have a proper perception of who He is. It makes Christ the priority. If Christ is not the priority, your perception of Christ is wrong. Your perception of Christ is erroneous. Because if you have a proper perception of Jesus Christ, He becomes the priority in your life. If He isn't, the problem is not all the other things. The problem is that there's not a true perception of Jesus Christ. Between the question and the command being follow me, is an attraction toward Christ. If any man will come after me, will come after me. That speaks of a pursuit. The object of the pursuit is me. The object of the pursuit is Jesus Christ. He's the attraction. And He will be if we have a proper perception of Jesus Christ. If your heart is not attracted to Jesus Christ, your perception of Christ is no better than the world's perception of Christ. He's John the Baptist or whoever. If we have a proper perception, there is an attraction. And with that attraction, we realize that He's worthy of all. And we appreciate Jesus Christ and we enjoy Jesus Christ so much so that our hearts are pulled toward Him. Our hearts are drawn to Him. Why is it that some of who profess to be God's people have such a struggle? And we all do from time to time, but I'm talking about it just all the time. A struggle. Their hearts are always drawn to the world rather than Christ. They have a problem with their perception of Jesus Christ. They may not know Him at all, but regardless, they have a problem concerning their perception. If we have an accurate perception of Christ, our hearts are drawn to Him. People have an inaccurate perception of the world. They think the world's going to make them happy. They think the world's going to solve their problems. That's a wrong perception of the world. And then their hearts are attracted to the world because of that wrong perception. So we need a right perception of Jesus Christ. And if that be so, our hearts are drawn toward Christ. So we can, one way we can examine our perception of Christ is to just honestly answer, what is our heart drawn to? What is it that our heart is drawn to? What is it that pulls at our heart? What direction are we going? Between the question, but whom say ye that I am, and the command, follow me, verse 24, let him deny himself. The desire and the attraction for Christ must be so great, so powerful, so influential and so dominant that it causes us to deny ourselves. And I don't believe that denial of self is that big of a problem if we have a right perception of Jesus Christ. The reason many do not follow Christ is because they have a wrong perception of themselves and they actually put themselves ahead of Christ. They have a wrong perception of Christ. They have a wrong perception of themselves. And dying to self is more than giving up certain things. Well, I gave up this and I gave up that. Who cares? Christianity is Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Deny himself means that self is repudiated. We cease considering our own ease and our own pleasure. Those things do not take priority over Christ. We set aside our agendas, we set aside our goals, and we set aside our pursuits to pursue Jesus Christ. And none of that's a problem if there is a right perception of Christ. But whom say ye that I am? And then you have the command, follow me. Between that is taking up of the cross. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. That is, we're willing to be hated. We're willing to be ridiculed and mocked and rejected. Willing to be thought of as the scum of the earth for Christ. Again, it all goes back to a proper perception of Jesus Christ. Everything goes back to that. And again, we can measure our perception of Christ by just honestly examining our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're told three times that Christ is precious. He's precious. And those who have a proper perception of Christ, he's precious. That is, he's priceless. He's priceless. It's not the job that's priceless. It's not the school that's priceless. It's not the family that's priceless. It's Christ. It's priceless. It's precious. It's immeasurable. It has immeasurable worth. Who can measure the worth of Jesus Christ? So we must see him as precious. If we're going to live life all about him, he must be precious. How many times a child of God, or perhaps someone who professes to be saved, but they're not, but either way, they hear preaching and they get convicted and they determine right then, I'm going to do better in that area of my life. And nothing wrong with those convictions. We ought to have those convictions. But there's only one way you'll do better in that area of your life. And that's a greater appreciation of who the Lord is. Otherwise, it's going to fail. If you do not have a proper perception of Jesus Christ, you cannot live the Christian life. Everything that Christ is must be personal, must be real, must be our own experience. Whether it be Savior, Shepherd, whatever you want to pick, it has to be personal and it has to be real. So true Christianity must have this proper perception of Jesus Christ. Which leads to the second point. True Christianity involves a heart and a love for Jesus Christ. And if you have a proper perception of Christ, you will have a heart for Christ. You will have a love for Christ. It's not, you know, people will say, well, they just love the world too much. They love their job too much. They love the friend. No, that's not the problem. They don't love Christ enough is the problem. That's the real problem. So if we're going to live the life of follow me, which is the Christian life, Christ must be the love of our life. And how does Christ become the love of our life? Do we just sit in church one day and decide, you know what, I'm going to start loving the Lord? It doesn't work that way. He becomes the love of our life. The more clearly we see Him, the more we love Him. The more we recognize who He is, the more we love Him. Now, this is a love that must be personal. And it must be real. It is a love that fills us with excitement. Fills us with enthusiasm. It is a love that has a very deep interest in the person of Christ. Now, if you told somebody, you tell your wife or your husband, I love you, but I have absolutely no interest in you. You think they're going to buy that you love them? I don't think so. And yet there are people today who will tell you they love the Lord and they have absolutely no interest in Jesus Christ. None. Or very little. So this is a love that has a very deep interest in who Jesus Christ is. It also has a strong drawing effect upon our hearts, upon our lives. It fills our lives with a passion and a yearning for Christ. This love is uninhibited. It's not ashamed. It's a love that causes us to earnestly confess Jesus Christ. Love is not ashamed of who Christ is. It's a love that inspires our hearts, inspires us to pray, inspires us to praise, and inspires us to give thanks. It's a love that desires His presence. Desires to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. There are an awful lot of God's people, or who at least profess to be God's people, who are very, very, very uncomfortable in the presence of the Lord. They get very uncomfortable. If we love the Lord, we desire His presence. It is a love that makes our hearts sensitive to Him. You love somebody, you have a heart sensitivity toward them. And if we love Christ, our hearts are going to be sensitive to Him, easily touched by Him. The more that we love Him, the more committed we will be to Him. The more surrendered we will be to Him. The more willing we'll be to follow Him wherever that is. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't even matter when it is. It's Him. That's all that matters. And love causes us to be willing to follow. We love Christ, He becomes a priority. The more we love Him, the more of a priority He is. Again, it's not a priority problem, it's a love problem. It's a perception problem. The more we love Him, the more we want to glorify Him. The more we want to be whatever it is He wants us to be. You can't live the Christian life without a love for the Lord. The more that we love Him, the more we desire to please Him. There are those today who profess to be saved and they don't care if they please the Lord or not. They have a love problem. They might have a salvation problem, but they definitely have a love problem. The more we love Him, the more we want to know Him. We have a clear perception, but we want more. The one who loves the Lord, the one who has a clear perception of the Lord, never satisfied with what they have of Christ. They want more. They want more. And the reason they want more is because there is more. As Paul said, I have not yet attained. And that's true of all of us. The more we love Him, the more we want to be filled with His ways, the more we want to use whatever it is we have for His service. All of this is Christianity, but it all comes back to a perception and a love for Christ. And you can do a lot of things and still not love the Lord. The more that we love Him, the greater, the more we want to be identified with Him, the more we want to be rooted to Him, the more we want Him to have everything. To have everything. The more willing we'll be to give up our own stature, our own rank, our own importance, our own plans, and our own ways. You love somebody, you are willing to lay aside your plans and ways. And if you love the Lord, you're willing to lay aside your plans, your ways. Because the truth is, our plans ought to involve Him. The more we love Him, the more willing we will be to stoop. The more willing we'll be to stoop and forget about self. And no matter how far we stoop, we think nothing of it. Other than you wish you could do it, stoop even lower. Wish that you had more to give. The more we love Him, the more He becomes our life. And the more He controls and dominates what we do. And the more we love Him, the easier it becomes to serve Him. If you struggle with serving the Lord, where you need to begin to solve that problem is with Christ. Because something is wrong with your perception of Christ. And something, has because that is so, something is also wrong with your love for Christ. The more we love Christ, the easier it is to serve Him. And the more joyful it is to serve Him. And the more enabled we are to endure trials. It's amazing what love will endure. And that's true in human relationships. But that's true in our relationship with Christ as well. Love for Christ will endure many things. The more we love Him, the better our outlook on life and the better our attitude about life. And again, our love goes back to a perception of Christ. You see, the more we love Him, we realize that I can't be too holy. I can't be too consecrated to Him. Can't do it. I need to be more holy, need to be more consecrated. So it's no wonder that Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Lovest thou me?" Now we know the 3 times is, lines up with His 3 denials, and what He said previously to His denials is, "Though all men deny thee, I will not." And when Jesus said, "Lovest thou me more than these," He was not talking about the fish. Don't be ridiculous. He was talking about the other apostles. You said, if these deny me, you wouldn't. Do you love me more than these love me? Lovest thou me? 3 times. He asked that question. It is a question about personal attachment to Jesus Christ. And it is a vital question because it's foundational to all service to the Lord. And because it serves as a stimulus to our want to. Love for Christ. Love for Christ will draw us closer to Him. Make us more willing to go further for Him. So again, we must make personal examination. First of all, do I love Christ? And before you say, well, of course I do, you really give it some thought. Do I love Christ? Some people may like coming to church. Do you love Christ? Do you love Christ? And if you can answer that yes, you come to the realization, I do love Christ. Don't love Him like I ought to. But yes, I do love Christ. Okay. Is your love for Christ growing? Is it growing? Because if it isn't, you become stagnant in your Christian life. Christianity is very stagnant today. And people blame it on all kinds of things, but the real reason. And the real reason is Christ. Is your love for Christ growing? If it's not, you become stagnant. Is the passion and fervency of our Lord growing, of our love growing day by day? How do we answer that question? Well, are we more drawn to Christ today than we were yesterday? Do we find ourselves being more drawn to Jesus Christ? That's a sign that love is growing. Do we find our love for Him to make us happy, control our hearts? Does our love for Him control our hearts and our minds more and more? Do we have a love for Him without reservation? Are reservations becoming less? Do we have a love for Him that will not settle for a mere form of worship or a mere form of godliness? Growing love will not settle for a mere form. So this questioning of Peter's love for Christ was part of Peter's restoration process. Peter had denied the Lord three times. The Lord was going to bring Peter back. And here's where he began. Lovest thou me? That's where it all begins. Do we love Him enough to repent? Do we love the Lord enough to repent? Do we love the Lord enough to just get right? Do we love Him enough to watch and long for His coming? Do you love Him enough to live for Him? Again, it all gets back to this. Do we love Him enough to do those things necessary to maintain a relationship with Him? Any relationship requires time and requires effort. And that is also true when it comes to the Lord. A relationship with the Lord is going to require effort. It's going to require time. Or are we just content with a mere acquaintance with the Lord? And if we are content with just a mere acquaintance with the Lord, we have a perception problem. We don't really perceive who He is. So we need to make honest examination. We need to make honest inspection of our love for the Lord. When the Lord said to the church of Ephesus, Revelation 2:4, thou hast left thy first love. Almost 100% of the time that text is preached from, the emphasis is put upon Thou hast left thy first love. It's just you've left Christ. But I don't believe that's what that's saying at all. Because you read on, and you see there was a church that was still serving God. They were still doing a lot of things right. But I believe first love is talking about a type of love in reference to Jesus Christ. First love. First love, you don't think of anything else. It's all the one you love. You'll spend your waking hours, every waking hour, thinking about that first love. First love. Thou hast left thy first love. I don't believe he's saying that you don't love me anymore. I don't believe that's what he's rebuking the church of Ephesus for. I believe they still had a love for the Lord, but it had declined. It was no longer first love. You take almost any husband and wife. Oh, they were so infatuated with one another when they first met. First love. 10 years goes by and first love is gone. Doesn't necessarily mean that the love is gone. But first love talks about a type of love. And they continued on serving the Lord, but not with the love that they once had. And I believe that is true of most of God's people today. We have to guard our love for the Lord. In love to Him, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. The more we understand about His love for us, the more we love Him. It's just a natural progression. When you truly get a grip upon the Lord's love for you, you will love Him more. That's Christianity. Christianity is Christ. It is a life moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. A lot of people call themselves Christian, but you'd have to do a lot of searching to find out in what way their life is moving in the direction of Christ. If your life is not moving in the direction of Christ, that's not Christianity. Life must be moving in the direction of Christ. Again, Christianity is not merely a set of rules. It includes rules. But Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not merely a form. It's not merely a ritual. It is Christ. Christianity is not merely a creed. There's a creed, there's a doctrine, but it's more than that. It's Christ. Christianity is not just tradition. It involves a lot of tradition, but it's much more. It is Christ. And I believe there are a lot of New Testament Baptist churches that worship tradition more than they do Christ. We've always done it this way, and we're not going to change. They're more in love with their tradition than they are Jesus Christ. You can read the Bible and still be detached from Jesus Christ. You can pray and be detached from Jesus Christ. You can obey the commandments and be detached from Jesus Christ. You can be theologically sound and be detached from Christ. You can be a member of a New Testament Baptist church. You can be a pastor of a New Testament Baptist church and still be detached from Jesus Christ. I'm not saying lost. You can be that also. But I'm talking about saved but detached from Jesus Christ. You can be faithful to church You're there every time the doors are open. But there's still not a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We must be focused upon Christ, because Christianity is Christ. That's the simplest definition of Christianity. It's Christ. It's the summation is, follow me. It's all Christ. We cannot lose sight of that. Well, I believe Christianity is maintaining certain convictions. Well, that's true to a point. But it's Christ. None of those things replace Jesus Christ. None of them do. I've heard people say, well, they do Christmas, they can't even be saved. That woman wears pants, she can't even be saved. Are you serious? Christianity is Christ. And I'm not saying it's right for a woman to wear pants. I'm not saying that at all. It's not. But Christianity is Christ. Be careful of who you say is lost simply because they don't dot every I like you do and cross every T. And that's where we are today. If they don't agree 100% with me, they're lost. Christianity is Christ. And I'm afraid we've lost sight of Jesus Christ. We can't afford that. We can't afford to lose sight of Christ. So may every day we focus upon who it's all about, Jesus Christ. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us first song.